tuned in to The American Journal with Rex Jones. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the show. We're going to conclude things this morning with a phenomenal interview. Joining us now is Gary Cardone, an entrepreneur and investor with a background in energy, fintech, payments, and crypto. He's built tons of businesses across several industries and is known for various work in digital assets and blockchain. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to be here.
Hey.
Happy Easter.
Glad you made it onto the show. This is something that we really wanted to make happen. So pleasure for you to take time out of your day. Before we get started, I kind of want to just go through your background, some of the things, who you are. A lot of people probably know you for your brother as well as the only things that you've done. I don't want to make this about Grant. I want to make this about you. And so we know you're related to Grant Cardone and everything like that, but you've got your own story to tell. And let's focus on that. So just tell us about like your childhood, maybe some of just the background of like how you got to where you are today, because you are wildly successful.
What makes
yourself. You?
Yeah. We want to know that.
Well, look, I grew up in Lake Charles, Louisiana, in a energy refining town. I have an economics and marketing background. My twin brother. So we're identical twins. We both took very, very different paths in life. I went corporate, went to work in the oil and gas industry when I was 21. And
wow.
The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, was bringing in a new order. I think it was called FERC Order 474, 473. And that would revolutionized the way energy was transported and accessed across the United States. So basically, it was called open access, where I, as an individual or a small company, could buy energy in the same way, at the same price that Exxon or DuPont, they were all trading together. So
Wow. It
really opened the market for a very competitive market, and it has worked exceptionally well. There's probably 200 men and women that changed the way energy traded natural gas, electricity, and crude oil in the United States. That market today, we have a sub $3 natural gas price in the United States. When I started in the industry, the natural gas price, this just shows you how cool competition is. If you leave the markets undone and don't intervene with them, the price of natural gas when I was first buying it in the 80s was $7.63.
Wow.
And now it's $3. 35 plus years later. So competition really works. It creates innovation.
Very true.
Now, so that's kind of how I got here.
Now, how did you go from kind of, you talked about being in corporate, and then now you've been in the industry, you've got your own business, you've got your own companies and everything. How have you gotten to like that transition? Like what was that transition like for you, in which like you just decide I'm going to double down and do what I got to do?
I was working for a large oil company that people would know their name in Houston, Texas. And I was 26 years old, and I looked at the management team and I looked at the disruption that was occurring through this new FERC order. And I was like, I don't think these guys, although they own all the oil and gas and they've got big teams and they've got a big building, I could not imagine spending my whole life doing that. So I went to work for a startup. I think I was the 12th commercial employee. It was called Natural Gas Clearinghouse. I took a huge risk. Mm-hmm. I left a big company with a big brand, a little bit like maybe what you guys have been going through. Hey, what am I going to do when I grow up? And
right.
I took a big risk. I went to work for a place where the platform or the ball field, if you think about it as an athletic team, they allowed me to exercise the muscles that I had. And I wasn't required to wear a white shirt and a gray suit. I mean,
right.
They weren't constantly controlling my creation. And that would be, once I went to work for that startup, I would never work for a company again.
Right. And
I've just been building companies since then.
People are hungry for that freedom. And I think you exemplify that in what you do. And that's why me, you, Tim, we're all a part of these conversations now, particularly on X. We're hearing a variety of opinions from people. We're always trying to stay on topic, trying to track everything as it happens, as it evolves. I wanted to ask you, what's your expert view on the energy market disruption? Because you're an oil guy, you have this huge energy background, you know the industry from day one. What's your view on what's going on right now and the potential ramifications and consequences of it?
Do we have a whole day?
Yes.
Look, this is a most spectacular event in world history. And I have a really probably a different view than most people. I understand quite a bit of energy has been disrupted. And had we not gone through COVID, I would probably be a bit more concerned. And by that, I mean, COVID was an instant, immediate demand shutdown, which it was also supply shutdown. The experts are going to say it was all demand driven, but the truth is it was also supply. You couldn't get to work. So we spent, 4 years figuring out how to get logistics all re-engineered, changed. I mean, from toys to energy to gasoline to automobiles, manufacturing processes. I think that made us really strong. It's an anti-fragile exercise, right? Where you go through a huge shock and the whole system figures out how to fix it. May not be the most elegant fix, but that was 6 years ago. And we have gone through that process. I suspect, I have two viewpoints. One, I suspect that we will get logistics back online quicker than we think we can, assuming we don't go any further, which is a big wish, in my opinion. Secondly, I think that we will find that there is a good 35% of all energy that is used. No one wants to talk about this, but it is a big subject. 35% of all energy used, and 35% of the energy has not been terminated yet. 35% of all the energy I use is convenience energy. Like, I don't have to use it. I don't have to have my AC at 69. I don't have to travel in a car every mile. I can start being discerning in the way I'm spending money. I think that's actually really good for Americans. It's being forced on you, but we will learn to really value energy. And so, what it does, and we will waste less of it.
So, Gary,
we waste a lot of energy.
My question on this would be, okay, so you really do have a different perspective, because it's very easy to get black-pilled on this issue.
Sure.
Especially with the oil crisis. So are you trying to say that it may not be as bad as it seems, or that it looks? Because, like, I'm hearing competing ideologies.
It's tough.
And it's very hard to discern what's the truth versus what's the smoke and mirrors. Because, again, you are somebody who's in higher levels of rooms that, you know, the average person doesn't have access to.
It's also that experience.
And the experience, too. So, like, those two combined together, what's the real story here? Are we about to have a major crisis? Because it seems like you're saying, well, COVID has already taught us. But then there's also real stakes here. Can you talk about some of that?
Well, look, I think there is severe damage being done to the economy right now. There's no doubt. There is severe damage being done to the economy, to geographies, and to relationships across the world. Like, Americans taking a big, big, big hit today. If America was a stock, we would probably be closed today.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, seriously. Look, I mean, 40% of the world still cooks on wood.
Wow.
I want to say that for your audience, okay? 40% of the world still cooks on food, still cooks on wood. So they go to the river, they get water, they start a fire, and they clean the water. We have a really different perspective here.
Yes.
When I say that there's 35% of the energy that I use is unnecessary, I can turn my AC off. I don't have to have a hot bath every day. Not one of you guys turned your laptop computer off last night. That means energy is too cheap. Okay. If you're just burning it away and not turning it off, it's too cheap. So we're going to enter a new world where we value what we're doing. This is moving into a world of efficiency, I think. This will be the first step to utilizing tools as we paying for things as we use them, instead of paying subscriptions, and you get to pay for my overuse.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a good example. My garbage extraction from my home is bigger than most people's. I should be charged more.
Right.
For sure I should be charged more. Like, I should be charged on my demand, not on everything that I transact on. I should be, in my opinion, if you started pushing the consequences on energy use instead of everybody pays a flat rate, the world would be a much, much more efficient place. For instance, a car, an automobile is used 4% of the time. That is a massive waste of energy. And you have to build a house to put the car in. And then you got to clean the car. So there's just a lot of things. As we move into what I call the digitization of planet Earth, that we are moving into a fully digital world, well, we're going to find that efficient way to live.
Let me interject here, because it sounds like a lot of what you're talking about is the Great Reset. And we've talked about this a lot on this show and other shows on the network about the 15-minute cities, about kind of the everything being on a meter, including intelligence, all of that. You're in a lot of these elite rooms. You're having a lot of these elite conversations with people. I wanted to ask you the question, what do you hear people talking about? Is it really going to be this globalization where everything is run off of ultimate efficiency? Is it the death of kind of consumer culture where we can use as much as we want? We can go to the store as much as we want. We can eat as much food as we want. What do you see here?
Yeah. I have a lot of financial friends and I think all these metrics are broken, quite frankly. But the first one comes up is GDP, right? And look, GDP is a funny number because I don't know how many more t-shirts Americans need. But that drives GDP, man. I mean, I have a lot of t-shirts. I'm wearing my favorite t-shirt today for world peace. But, you know, I just think it's a little bit like the 35% convenience factor on energy. We eat too much too, by the way. Like, you know, all Americans, if we ate one half the meals that we're eating today, if we were driven into a depression and only had to eat half the meal, no one's going to die of under food, right? Not in America. So like you really start thinking, I think this is going to be, I don't like how we got here, but I think this is going to really drive people to start thinking about where they're living, what they're paying for energy, and how they're using the resources around them. Because I know a lot of people, they're terrified right now. I mean, flat out terrified. They own private businesses. They don't know where their income's going to come from. They see major disruptions. Their employees now are freaking out because they're paying $4.50 for gasoline in Florida instead of $3. Dude, that just changed in 10 days.
I mean, I operate a fulfillment center. Like I'm paying more already. And, you know, we're just told these are increases we have to take. I think the average American, especially people in the private business sector, people that employ people are asking, you know, where's the room for us to breathe? Where's the room in this entire situation?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of room to breathe. But then, you know, I look at what you're saying here, Gary, and I do agree in certain aspects. Like, yeah, I mean, we do need to look at, you know, how much people are overusing or overconsuming and you know, the waste that's happening with not just energy, but food. Like I used to work as a server for a very long time. I mean, after the day you would see just trash and piles of trash from food that people weren't eating. And people would have like one thing on the plate and eat it and then throw out the rest of it. And it doesn't go anywhere but the trash. And then, but I also look at another argument here, and it's about how we have created the systems to where we don't have public transportation to allow people to offload the aspects of like vehicle.
Where's transport. Our high speed rail?
Well, yeah. And this is what I'm saying. So like if you live in California, most likely you might be working at a job that's closer to downtown because that's where the infrastructure, but you may not be able to afford to live any closer than like maybe an hour away. And that requires you to have a vehicle in order to travel that far. Out of necessity. And you could look at it and be like, well, that person should be charged more because they're using more. But it's not like a simple binary equation there because we're not giving people alternatives like a high speed rail to where they could drive to their local train station and get the same transportation into, you know, where they work. And that would work if we had those incentives in place.
That's such a key point to make, because keep in mind the national highway system, what is that? That's a military invention. We wanted the entire country to be connected, and we see things come out of these global conflicts. I think it is like you're saying, we're going to see a new world order come out of all this, right, Tim?
Yes. So Gary, that's what I'm – so like for the nuances, because it's very easy to paint the black and white picture here. Where is room for nuances when I talk about these scenarios for people who would need to use higher because they have no choice?
Well, look, my brother and I, he's a real estate guy, and 4 years ago, we were arguing. I said, look, there, no one's going back to the commercial building. And he's like, no, they're all going back. I'm like, no, bro, there's no one's going back to the commercial buildings. The people that will go back to the commercial buildings will be the bottom 80% of the staff. And I mean, you start thinking about the problems this creates. So say a Morgan Stanley, who, by the way, Jamie Dimon was on TV this morning or last night saying, hey, New York's done.
Wow.
Now, when you talk about New York being done in what, less than a year, he's like, hey, look, we cannot hire people here. They cannot afford to live anywhere near New York City. Most of his competitors are moving to Florida. So I think you're seeing New York fail because of bad policy all over the place. And people were, you know, the Scaramucci's and the Trumps of the world said New York can never fall. Well, New York is falling just as California is falling. It's too expensive to live there. If you can't survive, like I stopped hiring anyone under $10,000 a month.
Wow.
And the reason is if you don't make $10,000 a month, at least you become a problem to me.
Wow.
And I don't need problems. I need solutions. I don't need criminals. I don't need people that are going to, you know, getting speeding tickets or their car, whatever. I need people that are like their minds are together. And I think this is doing more than inflating the cost of things. This is really creating a lot of terror and fear. And investments are not made when there's terror and fear.
Yes.
And there's instability. So most certainly there is a, you know, whole set of dice being thrown on this geopolitical chessboard, and the entire board is shifting. We need to, as Americans, we are really ignorant people on a world stage. It would behoove every American to start studying true history, not what you're listening to on any media sources, including this one.
Yeah.
Do your own due diligence.
We always say that. That's the ethos of the show.
That's the ethos.
Very powerful, man.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
That's the reason why I do the deep dives on the show, is because the history and the context is important to the entire equation. And more often than not, people just look at the headline, they look at the surface level information, and then they argue on that instead of understanding there's a bunch of complex systems. So like one thing I want to talk about is, you know, you and I often go into like a space like Suleiman. And so we hear a lot of people in those spaces just arguing, and they represent the average person around the world. I know sometimes you're probably just listening, you're probably chuckling to yourself because the narratives that go on in that eco space versus the rooms that you're in are probably two very different things. Am I correct on that?
Well, I'm not a good cartel member. Like, if you want me in a cartel, I'm probably not the guy to be. I'm not going to be loyal to you. I grew up Catholic. The moment I saw the too many priests doing too many bad things and the Catholic leaders not saying, hey, that's wrong, they were protecting their people, I walked away. I'm not going to be a part of a bad organization. So, look, I think the world would do well to listen to everyone. Actually listen to other people. I go into a lot of different spaces to me, X and what Elon's doing is a great opportunity for tremendous education.
Sure.
Tremendous free education, education we've never received before. And that's why I go there. And I have learned a lot. I don't really laugh at people when they're pitching their deal. They're just pitching their deal. Right. And, I think it's really hard for most people. Look, it's cost me a lot of money to go in some of these spaces and take a view and have an opinion. I've had friends that are very, very wealthy call me up and go, bro, could you remove that post?
Wow.
Hey, you really want to do this, man? Yeah. I mean, you really need to push that envelope? Like, you got a lot of issues. You don't need to. And I'm like, you know, the right thing to do.
Yes.
Isn't always the most convenient thing to do. And I'm really sorry that it's got to be convenient for some people, but this one is a big deal. We have millions of people being disrupted, trafficked, I mean, drugged. But like if COVID hadn't happened, you might want to call me an extremist.
We've seen it all before.
I'm pretty sure that the same people that are running this fucking show are around the 2020 COVID thing. Okay. It's not cool. That was a mass aggressive act against humanity. It's not cool. And I'm not going to stop saying it was not cool until the perpetrators are brought in front of a judge and they're put in prison for the rest
military
of their lives.
Tribunal. And this is the thing, global disruptions, global famines. And the point I wanted to make when you and Tim were going into the discussion of being sure to analyze everything you see and getting alternative sources, the thing the politician will do is the same exact thing the bank man will do or the businessman will do. They'll have a line graph that's going like this, that's going straight down. And they'll find one point where it jumps up again and they zoom in on the point and they're like, we're doing great. Do you see a lot of that?
Yeah. And but listen, you see a lot of that in finance, too. Like, you know, they'll show you a chart and that chart was up for 13 minutes and they compare it to another chart and go, look, it's outperforming. So I'll tell you, I've been investing since I was 21 years old, and it's very, very difficult for me to understand where to make an investment today.
Wow.
Like, how do you make an investment in OpenAI when the CFO comes out this weekend and says, we're not ready to go. We have some financial issues and I'm concerned about the way my CEO spends money. Mm. Okay. Like, that's crazy, man. This is serious money these people are raising now.
Right. And where's the power going to come from to power all these data centers now that global energy markets are pretty much destroyed? That's another factor into all this.
Let's say it all gets put together again. The price is never going to, like, the price is always going to have this premium, not always, but it's going to have a premium here for, if everything were to settle down today, you've already shocked the F out of this system.
Yeah.
Okay, this system is so messed up now. I think it will come back, but I would prefer oil to actually just to go to $200 really, really fast.
Wow.
And then you see the demand destruction. You're going to see demand destruction at 115. It's going to blow your mind.
Okay. We're almost there. I actually think we're at 110, 112.
TikTok, yeah. Like the crocodile.
There's
going to
be logistic issues. Okay. There'll be issues with certain centers, but I think you're going to have a lot of production come back online. You're going to see the oil price snap right back down. But you can't keep doing this to demand. It's not good. It's not good for the world economy for certain.
Absolutely. We're coming up on a network break. You're going to join us next segment. Really looking forward to hearing more from you. Thank you so much. Gary Cardone joins us in the next segment. Stick around. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I want to remind you, the place for methylene blue, the place for Shilajit gummies, all your favorite supplements, TheAlexJonesStore.com. Tim Tompkins, Rex Jones. See you soon.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro-cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultramethylene.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for auto ship. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bitly to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information is hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.